We'll get our directions straight. She's calling the plays, right? So, not under investigation even. So, that's good. Let's come to God in prayer. I checked the prayer bowl. There were no specific requests there. And I just want to see where the Spirit leads us in prayer for a little while as we get ready for another week and wrap up a week that's gone before us. And we've had all kinds of ups and downs and challenges. And a new week is right on the horizon. As we've stepped into it, may He lead and guide. And thank Him for the extra rest we had last night. Amen? So God, I want to thank You that You give each of us our identity. You've said sons and daughters. And we need that identity to know who we are. And then You gather us together as sons and daughters, and You call us family. Family, brothers and sisters, who are there for each other, to pray for each other, to respond to needs that each other has in the family. And we're all very different as family members, and so we may have differences along the way, and yet You've called us to unity as Your family. In fact, You've said in Your word, Jesus, You prayed it to the Father, oh, that they, the family, would be one like we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are one, so that the world would know. They would know the unity and the love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we be such a family with all of our differences and all of our samenesses as a witness to this world. And you've called us body. All the parts of the body, we need them all. In fact, You've told us in Your word, Father, that some of the most important parts of the body are the ones we don't even see because they're at work underneath the radar screen of what we see on a day-to-day basis. And I think about prayer warriors in particular who stand in the gap, who are right there watching out for the other parts of the body. And we need all the other parts of the body, the ones that are more up front in giving leadership and others who are supporting and encouraging. And we know that Your love is not based on what position we take. Your love is based on us as sons and daughters. And You just love us for who we are. That's why You sent Jesus. And I want to thank You that You've called us to be Your army. And we live in a world where there's a lot of darkness right now. And we pray that Your light would shine bright in those parts of the world that are experiencing a lot of pain in the midst of war, a lot of loss, a lot of grief. Hard to even watch the news. It's so overwhelming. We pray that Your light would break through where there is darkness and where there's division, and that You would be right there ministering to the needs of people through those who are there as a part of Your army. And that we would go forth every day, as You said, You're the light of the world, each one of us, that each one of us and us together are light in a community that needs light where there is a lot of darkness. No matter where we live, no matter what community, there's so much darkness just around the corner, maybe right in our neighborhood. And we pray that we could shine with Your love and be agents of Your love right there. You've called us not only to stand in the gap where the enemy is seemingly taking ground, You've also said You love us so much that we are the bride of Christ. And when I think about a bride and a groom, I think about love. I think about closeness. I think about adventuring together. I think about sharing dreams and having visions for next steps. I pray that You would remind us that we are the bride of Christ. And Jesus is madly in love with us, corporately together. He's put us here for a reason, for this time, for this place, in Elgin, Michigan, in the county that we're a part of, and wherever we may travel in from. And then as we leave this place every week, we may be on airplanes, we may be traveling in cars and vehicles. We're still called at that point to live out being the bride of Christ, madly in love with our Savior. And we thank You that we can celebrate the gift of life he's given to us in the sacrifice on the cross today. That we would be reminded and thankful and refreshed and ready to step out every day with good news of great joy. Good news of great joy that will bring peace and hope and the reality of a touch of Jesus in people's lives. Would you use us, Lord, for the coming of your kingdom as agents of your goodness? We give this to you in Jesus' name, and all God's family said, amen, amen.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after.
As we prepare to hear God's word, join me in prayer. Father in heaven, I just ask that you will protect and bless Pastor Tom as he brings your message, your word to us today, that the words you put on his heart about goodness and your goodness will be words that we need to hear, that we will be able to understand and act on. Father, protect Pastor Tom as he preaches and brings your word. Give him courage and boldness to speak what you put on his heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you again. I want to thank Clarence for giving me some new batteries. They're Ever-Readies. So Galatians 5 is where we've been camping out, like, for a long time as I've shown up in the fruits of the Spirit, and we're in number 6 right now. 3 more to go along the way, and I just thought as we were singing that last song of ending last week when we were looking at the kindness of God, the chesed of God, and I reminded you of the close of Psalm 23, where the psalmist says, surely goodness and love, goodness and chesed will follow me all the days of my life. And I shared with you that the word there is stronger than just follow. It's like pursuing. And we were just singing about God's goodness running after us. That's the pursuit. It's not like, oh man, Tom messed up, I better go check out on him, see what he's doing. He knows. And he's running after me. And he's running after you. And he's running after us. And that's kind of the setting where we step in today. So just a reminder from Galatians chapter 5 to begin with, 22 through 26. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And remember, those are really about our attitude about how we approach God. And then about patience and kindness and goodness, which really is how we approach others. Is how am I kind to others today? How am I someone who is good to others? And what about patience with others as we look at that? And then there's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control about our individual attitudes. What's going inside my character formation on a daily basis? And then Paul writes, against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Just a great word for us every day. And then from Luke 6, just a couple of verses in the teaching of Jesus, really taken from what we know in Matthew as the Sermon on the Mount. Luke has his own version. It's not like Jesus just preached a sermon one time and everybody remembered it perfectly. He went and he taught wherever he went, wherever he went to the towns and the villages, and the disciples were following him. So they heard these messages again and again and again. Maybe they could have preached them just as well because they heard them so many times. And here is Jesus teaching. And in verse 43 of Luke chapter 6, just a brief little story about a tree and its fruit. No good tree bears bad fruit. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what is in the heart and what it's full of. So God is good. I don't know if you've been in places already where there's kind of this responsive thing, God is good, and everybody responds all the time. So I'd like to try that a few times today. I think it'll pop up along the way in the message as just a little bit of the reminder, so let's try it. So God is good
all the time.
Okay, we got that one down. I hope that just keeps coming back all week, like hearing a good song that won't go away, because he is good all the time. Goodness. My goodness, how did we get here? The word good is used to describe all sorts of things, right? How are you feeling today? Good. How was the movie you went to last night? Good. How was that slice of Dutch apple pie with ice cream on it that you had last night? Really good, right? How do you like your new car? Good. Yeah, maybe not. And most importantly at all, Where do I go for a good cup of coffee? Good. My wife and I kind of smile. We watch a little bit of HGTV, and I love watching houses being renovated and brought from nothing to something. And then the people walk in, and they're so surprised, and almost always they say, "Oh my goodness." Many times they say, "Oh my God," and I'm thinking, which God are you saying it to? But it's like, oh my goodness, it just comes again and again, this whole word of goodness. And we also use it to refer to people, like, he's a really good kid, or he's a good man, or they're really good neighbors, or you can trust him or her in that company that they have been a part of in this community because they're really good. It's about a quality of behavior that starts with a character about who we are. How are we shaped? How do we live out our being? God uses the word good to describe the various days of creation. And I'm not going to go back and review it all now and read it all, but just go back to Genesis 1 and look how many times the word good shows up, right? So he begins his creation. Day one ends, and God saw that it was good. And then it continues, and the earth is shaped and formed, and things begin to take shape. And the next words are, and it was good. And then another day, and it was good. And another day, and it was good. And another day, and it was good. And we get all done with creation, and then man is given life. And God saw that it wasn't just good. The word in the Hebrew is tov, meaning perfect. Very good. He created man. It was really good. Now there is this person to take care of the earth, made in the image of God and in his likeness. But it doesn't take long, and even before sin entered the world, there's something that wasn't good. You can read about it in those opening chapters of Genesis. God saw all that he had made, and it's not good for man to be alone. That's the statement that's made. Something not good. Not that it wasn't sin, that there was sin, but it was not good. He needed to have the other part of creation, the female, that person that would be there, and they would give life, and the generations would begin to come, and it was perfect. Perfect as God did his work. So when we use this word for people and who they are, we're really looking at character, and then there's behavior that flows from that. It's this uprightness of heart and life. That's what goodness is, an uprightness of life and heart. A good and fitting behavior. It's a matter of integrity and righteous living, and where you simply do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because you're demanded to do the right thing or you're under some kind of a microscope and God's going to love you more if you do the right thing. He loves you 100% already. And this goodness begins in the heart. That's why I think the heartbeat of the message today is simply this. I'm going to grow in goodness as I allow the Holy Spirit to purify my heart. And we're going to grow in goodness as we allow the Holy Spirit to purify our corporate heart for this community and for our neighborhoods and for our workplaces and for our extended families and for all the people we rub shoulders with. How do I share the goodness of God in my life with those around me by more than words, but with behavior? So there's this character that's there that's taking place. And that's what Jesus was speaking about when he talked about the good fruit and the bad fruit and how you can't get good fruit off bad trees and you don't get bad fruit off good trees. There's something that comes together there with behavior and what's flowing in the heart. This good heart is going to bring about a fruit of goodness. And deep down, if you don't do good, what's the heart condition? So let's pause for a little bit and look at the goodness of God. What does God's word have to say about his goodness? And we could just look at that a long time and just review the dozens and dozens and dozens of passages that talk about the goodness of God. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. And I think I shared with you recently, compassion is such a powerful word in the scriptures. It's that word that means the very bowels, the splanctha, where Jesus had compassion as he went to the towns and the villages. And that compassion was something that the disciples were learning about as they went into the towns and villages and followed Jesus and watched him stretch out his hand and bring healing. And there were miracles and there were people raised from the dead. And there was good news that was proclaimed and people were set free. And the disciples began to see the difference that made in people's lives. It's the goodness of God. I think the goodness of God, just look at creation. I know I shared with you a couple of weeks ago as I was driving in how bright the sun was as it shined on the trees and how they popped at me. And I was thinking about the goodness of God in creation this week and all the backpacking trips I took when we lived in Montana. And we'd hike out of Yellowstone and into the Tetons and be out for 80 miles and spend 8 days in the wilderness in places that other people would never see. And every day was kind of this, wow, it's the goodness of God in the creation that he made. It's the goodness of God to the Israelites as he set them free from hundreds of years of slavery and brought them into a promised land. It's the goodness of God in which he sends his son after 400 years of prophets not hearing much from God, if anything, that we have recorded. There was just this intertestamental period between the Old and the New Testament of about 400 years where there was no new words coming that were being written down and being given. And yet God had kept his promises and he sends his Savior Jesus. And then it's the Father and the Son together, according to John chapter 14, who together send the Holy Spirit. Dad and Son, they send the Holy Spirit, the third person to be present with us here, who is residing in our hearts. Jesus put it this way to the disciples when he said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, presence right here on the face of this earth, because God is good, right? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Only God is good. When the rich man came to Jesus and addressed him as good teacher, Jesus responded to him by saying, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Mark 10:18. No one is good except God alone. And it awakens me to what I read in the New Testament through writers like Paul, who in Romans 3:23 put it very bluntly, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. That's where we find our condition that we're being freed from and all the lies and the deceit of the enemy that wants to hold us in bondage and slavery. Jesus came and paid it all and they send out the Holy Spirit and God is the one that does good. And in the midst of our having fallen short of the glory of God, Jesus comes and pays a price, and we are adopted as sons and daughters, and we'll get to that a little bit more in just a little bit. God only does good. God does not do bad. Just think about that for a moment. I know I've asked the question here before because it keeps coming up to me on a daily basis. Why do we blame God for all the bad stuff out there, right? Why does the world say it's God's fault? He sent that. He did this. And if you break it down in life, you realize there are bad things that happen because we live in a broken world. And the broken world happened when Adam and Eve sinned. And all at once there was this separation that took place. So we only have these first couple of chapters of what it was like before sin entered, and the rest of the Bible is recovery from that and helping us to begin to understand that. And I've personally had to really wrestle with that. If God is good, why do bad things happen? And I don't have a clear answer. I know when I was nearly killed in that car wreck I've talked about before, and close to my last breath and had that bright light experience, I've had to wrestle with that whole thing. If God is in charge and doing everything, why did he allow that person to get drunk and to drive without their lights on that dark September morning back in 1971? Why did he let that happen? And it's like we live in a broken world, and that's the result of brokenness. It's not like God had this plan and said, Tom needs to learn a lesson. I'm going to allow this guy to get drunk, and he's not going to drive with his lights on. And we can very quickly hear the enemy coming in and painting God as a bad God. God is a good God. He is the good God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the one who knew us in our mother's wombs before one of us was yet come to be. He knew us all together. And we know from Romans chapter 8, 28, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. In all things he works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And we may not see at the moment exactly what the good is, but we trust him. It comes down to that trust factor. He created us for such a time as this. He's at work. He's not abandoned us. He hasn't forgotten about us. But he is the one who is at work in our life, and our work is a good work. Jesus' brother James, who didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah until after the resurrection, becomes one of the leaders of the early church. The book of James is written by him. And if you read the book of James, it's almost like reading another paraphrase of the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus in Matthew 5 and through chapter 7. And that Sermon on the Mount. And James writes in chapter 1, verse 17 of James, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. I also have to say that Jesus always did that which was good. The Son of God, born of a woman, born under the law, from his first breath to his final breath on this side of eternity, only did what was good. Go ahead and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Find out if there's anything bad that Jesus did. I mean, you can learn so much about it. One of the things that came up in my life a while back was the reality that I never saw Jesus in a hurry. In so much of life, I'm in a hurry, right? I got to get someplace. I got to do something. I got to accomplish this. I got to make this happen. Jesus was always listening for the Father to speak. He said, I can only say what I hear the Father speak. And how did he know what the Father spoke? Because the Holy Spirit was there speaking and intervening in the three. That's a part of that mystery of what God was doing through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here's Jesus. In John 8, 29, Jesus says, the Son, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. I always do what the Father desires. So God is pleased when we do good. We came to this earth to mirror his goodness and to allow the world to get a taste of a good God, not a bad God. I love it when I get into Acts and I'm reading about the burst of the church that went out from Rome and Jerusalem, from Jerusalem into Roman Gentile world. And in Acts chapter 10, you can read about Peter and Cornelius. And you remember Cornelius was actually an Italian centurion leader, and he had this vision of asking Peter to come and talk to him. And Peter had this vision while he was taking a nap and was told there's somebody going to knock at your door and you have to go with them and you're going to go to Cornelius's house and you're going to be able to share the good news. And you can read about it in Acts chapter 10, a really, really powerful story where Peter goes back to the basics of the good news of the reality of Jesus coming to pay the price. And then he sums it up this way in verse 38 and following, 36 through 38. Peter says to Cornelius, and his whole household is gathered together, "You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." Because you see, when Jesus came to earth, he had to set aside some things. He had to set aside the ability to know all things, or he couldn't have been human. He had to set aside the ability to be everywhere present, because he was going to become human. It was what Paul was writing about in Philippians chapter 2, how he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And he had set aside something so he could minister, and he ministered in the power that came because he could hear perfectly. There was no sin distorting the voice of the Holy Spirit. Major difference between us and Jesus. There's a lot of junk in our lives that gets in the way of our hearing the voice of what the Father wants to say. Jesus heard it perfectly because there was no sin in his life. And the Holy Spirit was there ministering to him. And he was doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. And here's Peter, part of that inner circle when it came to those who were following Jesus. And he had firsthand access to how Jesus lived his life. He saw the character and he saw the very stepping out and being obedient to what the Father had to say. Because Peter knew firsthand that God is good all the time. Amen. Goodness in the heart. If the fruit of goodness has to do with good deeds that flow from a good heart, then I think we need to understand a little bit more about that. The Bible tells us that good and evil both come from the heart. Good deeds flow from a good heart. Evil deeds flow from an evil heart, or evil that is in the heart, a lie, a deceit, an accusation, a temptation. Sounds like life, where the enemy wants to get in the way of good and just have evil take place. And that's where we come to that account that I read to begin with Jesus and his teaching about the tree and the good tree and the bad tree and its fruit. Our actions reflect what's going on the inside. Good and evil both come out of the heart. And our hearts outside of Christ are not good fruit. The prophet Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" And we may be thinking, but I'm a good person. My heart isn't all that bad. Maybe that's my heart speaking. Maybe I need other eyes looking into my heart. Holy Spirit, would you allow me to see into my heart? Maybe I need to go beyond deceitful things and listen to what God has to say. And there's this promise that we have about new hearts. Paul wrote it to the church at Rome. He said, "There's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." And I'm so thankful that God doesn't save us because we're good. He saves us because he is good. Just grab hold of that. He doesn't save you or me or us because we are good. He saves us because he is good. And he's the one who created us in his image and his likeness. And that's why way back in the Old Testament, Ezekiel prophesied a word from God to his people. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart this heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Because God knew that our old hearts were incapable of doing good, and he offers us a new heart to replace the old heart. It's what Paul captured to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, like anyone here in Christ, amen? We're in Christ Jesus. That's why we've gathered together. The new creation has come. It's the new heart. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled himself, us to himself through Christ and gives us the ministry of reconciliation. All things become new in Christ, including the deceitful heart. God gives a new heart when you trust Christ. When we step out as ambassadors of the good news and share that good news, as we are connected to the vine, we're back to the good fruit and the bad fruit and the trees. And you go back to John chapter 15 and Jesus teaching on, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And multiple times, remain in me, stay connected to me. Without me, you can't do a thing. With me, you can do all things. I'm the vine, you're the branches. So we grow in goodness. If we see goodness of God and we see the goodness of Jesus, and we've reflected on the goodness of the heart, it's the work of God inside us through the Holy Spirit. It's what we call in our theological world sanctification, the shaping of the inside part of our life. David tells us in Psalm 51, in this prayer of confession, that we need to confess our sins and to seek to live a life of holiness, not so others can see our holiness, but others can meet the holiness that is in ours through Christ Jesus. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51:10, a simple prayer. O God, create in me a pure heart. Anybody need to pray that? Like, I need to pray that on a daily basis. When I'm out on the road driving and picking up people who have ambulatory needs or in wheelchairs, and I can become really impatient with the system that doesn't take good care of them, and there's this cry of my heart, oh Lord, I just need a pure heart and a right spirit. I need to be right here as your person in this place at this time, a simple prayer for daily living. 1 John 1:8-9, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just and he's going to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And guess what? When he forgives our sins, when we come and confess, he forgets them. There's a part of God that's forgetful. When we confess in the name of Jesus Christ, the price has been paid. And I might come and I might blow it again along the way. And I might come and say, God, do you remember? It's like, remember what? Remember what? Because it's been taken care of by Jesus Christ. And I may stumble and fall again, and I need to keep coming, and I need to keep asking. And he's right there. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. The way Peterson paraphrases it in the Message is this way. He says, if we claim that we're free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is arrant nonsense. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, simply come clean about them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. If we claim that we've never sinned, we out and out contradict God, make a liar out of him. A claim like that only shows off our ignorance of God. So we come and we ask, Lord God, purify my heart. And then we seek to glorify God by doing good works. We want people to know the goodness of God. Ephesians 2:10, we're God's workmanship, handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's like every day, what are the good works for me to do today, God? Because people need to know your goodness, and they need to know your grace, and you have been gracious to me, and I want to thank you for paying the price. Will you show me today what you have? And then we know that God is right there pursuing us with that goodness and with that love that will follow me all the days of my life, that closes Psalm 23. And this fruit of goodness isn't just about being good, but it's about doing good and asking God to develop within us his presence and that good news being a part of our lives that touches the lives of others. So Paul in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Good word, isn't it? Think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So let's go ahead and ask God to develop goodness in each of our lives and to develop goodness wherever we live and move and have our being. And just one more thought. Even after we receive a new heart, we still struggle with the problem of living in a broken world and facing the sin issue. So keep eyes focused on Jesus. And seek through the Holy Spirit to see the world around you and the people that God has put around you through the eyes of Jesus, that you can draw daily from this fruit of goodness. Because remember, all the fruit is yours. 100%, it's yours. And I got to admit, there's so much I don't draw from. I don't recognize the goodness is there. I just need to grab hold of it and ask, Holy Spirit, will you flood me full of the goodness that you have for this moment in this place so that other people will know the reality that God is good all the time. And that's really my prayer for all of us as we go out of this place, that people would know the goodness of God, that somehow we could become transparent. They wouldn't see you or me, or they wouldn't even see the river. They see God, and they know that something is taking place that we can't manufacture, that the Holy Spirit has come in and not just done heart surgery, but there's a new heart that he's given us, and that's the supernatural work that comes through the Holy Spirit because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for sending us your Son who spoke of himself and said, I'm the good shepherd, the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Thank you that Jesus, you came, and as you identified yourself as a good shepherd, you said, I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And Jesus, it wasn't just about us. It was about the world we live in. And so as you identified yourself as the good shepherd, and you identified us as those who would be used by you to bring good news, you also said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. You are also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, John the Baptizer put it, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you for taking away the sin in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who gives life to us. Amen.